From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of July 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, will join us to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. And we'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City. Along the way, we'll hear about pre-harvest intervals for post-emergent soybean herbicide applications. If you're going back to get some of those water hemp weeds that, well, didn't get taken care of by glyphosate, two things you need to worry about: time interval for harvest and the size of your soybean crop. We'll also check in on just exactly what Emerson Napsiger, agronomist from the U of I, thinks about the corn crop at mid-season. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished higher. Nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat at $7.02, up 39 and a quarter for the July or the harvest month. September at $7.14.5, 42 and a half cents higher. And next year's July at $7.94 and three quarters of a cent for 2012, up 40 and a quarter cents. July corn futures in Chicago, 29 and three quarters higher, $7.26 and three quarters. The settlement price, September at $6.86 and three quarters, up 22 and three quarters. And December contract at $6.79 and three quarters, up 21 and three quarters. March futures $6.91 and three quarters, 21 cents higher. May corn $6.97 and three quarters, up 20 and a quarter. July at $7.02 and a quarter, up 20 and a quarter. And December of next year at $6.38 and a quarter, 10 and a quarter cents higher. July beans at $13.87, up 20 and a half cents. August $13.74 and three quarters, up 19 and a quarter. November at $13.79 and three quarters, up 21 and a half. January 21 higher at $13.89 and a half. And November of 2012 at $13.46, up 11 cents. July bean meal at $3.53.20, up $4.70. July bean oil at $57.45, up $1.15. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle finished the August contract at $113.40. Down 62 and a half cents. August feeders at $139.90, down $2.12.5, and lean hogs at $95.60, up 40 cents on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the August contract at $97.96 a barrel, up 53 cents. Ethanol at 284 and 4 tenths of a cent, 7.5 cents higher. Natural gas at 439 and a tenth, up 5 8 tenths of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel up a penny and 2 cents at $3.09 and 9 tenths of a cent. Gold futures for the day, $1,585.20, $23.30 higher. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now just about 98 points higher at 12,545. The dollar at 71.19, down 0.61. The CRB index at 349.17, 4.91 higher on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, as it comes from the National Weather Service, says the skies this afternoon in the area will be partly sunny, a high near 81 degrees, east-northeast winds between 11 and 13 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 16 this afternoon, then it'll turn partly cloudy for the evening, a low of 58, east-northeast winds at 6 to 10, Thursday night, or rather Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 80 degrees, east-southeast winds at about 7 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, that is, partly cloudy, a low of 64. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 85. Friday night, cloudy, a low of 70. Saturday, sunny, a high near 91 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 74. As we start the week, mostly sunny skies on Sunday, a high of 92. Sunday night, cloudy, a low of 75. Monday, sunny, a high of 94 degrees. And Monday night, mostly clear, a low of 75. By the time Tuesday of next week rolls around, skies should be mostly sunny in the area, a high of 94 degrees. When we get to the bottom of this half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, about the agricultural weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How are you doing today?
Well, I wanted to share a telephone call I had from a gentleman flying an airplane in southern Indiana, and he flew over the Wabash River bottoms and said they looked pretty ornery. And then he flew over Washington, Indiana, and, of course, he said they had some of those horrible straight-line winds that flattened a lot of corn. And, of course, he said the corn that's tasseled stood up better than the other corn. And, of course, we're hearing those reports out of Iowa and places in northern Illinois. And, of course, everybody does remind me that this is tasseling and pollinating time frame. Corn usually elbows back up. It's a mess to harvest, and it usually reduces yields about 20 bushels to the acre, but it is a little scary if it's on your farm.
I talked to Emerson Napsiger about that issue, GreenSnap, actually, this morning for just a bit. Not for this afternoon, we won't hear it, but tomorrow afternoon. And basically, it depends sort of on whether it snapped below or above the ear, but there's a big difference between the two, and you can imagine what that might be. So we'll hear more about that tomorrow. But GreenSnap was a problem in that part of the world and parts of northern Illinois earlier in the week. So there are some problems that we'll be dealing with, and it's really supposed to get kind of hot in the near future, too.
Well, this is, my private meteorologist that I have the most confidence in mentioned last week about those above-normal temperatures, and he says they're going to haunt the Midwest and the Corn Belt for quite a while. This morning on his forecast was 3.5 to 7 degrees above normal. One meteorologist said 90 degrees above, temperature-wise for Omaha, Nebraska. So it is going to cover a big area. And, of course, the other big factor is that maybe one of the noon models cooled off a little bit, but there was a lot of heat also with Chairman Bernanke speaking to a House Finance Committee. And, of course, at the same time, that created a lot of excitement with hot weather and also some concerns about budget crisis and a very slow economy. But, his more or less reassuring the world that credit was available at some pretty cheap prices if we need to use that tool to keep the U.S. economy from going into a tailspin.
Are you okay with QE, I'm going to say 3?
Well, one thing about it is I think that Bernanke is brilliant, and I'm not going to second-guess him because he's extremely articulate, he's open, and he's one of the fairest bureaucrats in Washington, and that even includes anybody in the USDA.
Tell me about this rally we've had in the marketplace of the last few days.
Well, it is significant. And, of course, the USDA crop report yesterday helped stabilize things. And, of course, the Chinese buying is another big factor. And, of course, the worry is that we don't have a lot of extra carry over in either corn or soybeans if there is any kind of a yield loss. I think our major factor here is that we did see a very popular commodity service in Chicago take profits on some corn. All of our, our practice here at the ADM Investors Office have two phones on every desk, and I think there was we were extremely busy today with orders and also talking about the market. But it is a little scary when we have this major problem with the Greece, European financial crisis. And, of course, most people, they did even lower the debt ratings and in Greece again today, Fitch did. And as a result of that, we did have a pretty good stock market. So it was a little counterproductive from what Europe does and what the U.S. Did today in the financial world.
Is the move upward in the market today, this extra 20 cents to 30 cents that we picked up in corn, is it a weather-driven or a fundamental-driven side of the marketplace?
I think it's three things, of course.
Okay.
It's the financial printing press in the world. One way that we can get this, of course, is a compromise and raise the budget limits and in Washington. The second area is it does seem like the one way we can get out of this is print more money, with the trading industrialized nations in the world. And, of course, the third thing is this extremely warm temperatures that did catch everybody by surprise. And, of course, the other realization is that we are seeing Chinese demand when prices get cheap enough.
So the first one is inflation.
Yes.
Okay. It's not a word you like to use, but I'm just making sure that I've got that
inflation
right.
And they worry about the temperature drop. And it is it's not the corn being blown over. Historically, it comes back to life, but yields less in the bottom line there, too.
Right. So we've watched the green stamp, and it's something that happens with corn, not every year, but that there has been a problem in the past, and we get through that one usually with not too much damage across the board. So where do producers set their sights at this point on new crop corn? And then we can talk about soybeans.
Yeah. As far as the corn's concerned, definitely a person has to be extremely careful here because, on one hand, this economic crisis in Europe is a major problem, and here in the U.S. is also a major problem. And my general impression here is that if up at these levels and into the $7 area, a person does have to have your finger on the trigger, so to speak. And I agree with taking profits today in long December futures for a while. And on soybeans, it's a little different animal. The acreage on beans, the late double planted crop, not getting planted probably on time. And I do think that the Chinese, even though they haven't bought many U.S. beans recently, I think that they're also going to be a major buyer. One commodity analyst says they need basically a million tons a week delivered to China, either out of the U.S. or South America.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon.
WILL programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Closing Market Report comes to you from the University of Illinois. You know, farmers throughout the nation still have weeds to control in their soybeans and need to be aware of some timing issues that are related to the crop and the harvest. I'll have more in a moment. Across much of Illinois, and the nation for that matter, planned post-emergent herbicide applications in soybean already have been made. However, because the performance of some post-emergent herbicides on various weed species, water hemp in particular, has been less than ideal, it appears likely, thanks to University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager, that some soybean fields will be resprayed. And he says this late in the season, farmers need to think about problems related to making that application.
Well, the point of concern that we have with the lateness now of the season and the herbicide applications is that virtually all the post-emergence soybean herbicides that farmers routinely use have a pre-harvest interval specified on their label. And that's simply the amount of time indicated on the respective label that must elapse between when that herbicide was last applied and when the crop is harvested. And usually that pre-harvest interval is indicated by a certain number of days.
That is the number of days that must transpire between the time the soybean field is sprayed and the time it is harvested. There is a second part to this equation.
Even though we indicate these as the pre-harvest intervals as the number of days, we should also keep in mind that some products would also specify on their labels, again, that that applications should not be made, say, after the soybean have begun to bloom, for example. And many soybean plants across a pretty large part of Illinois are very much approaching the bloom stage right now, or some of you actually entered the bloom stage. So another development stage to check, certainly in the fields before any applications are made.
Labels of some products may indicate both a developmental stage, before soybean bloom, for example, and a pre-harvest interval. Pre-harvest intervals indicate the amount of time that must elapse between the herbicide application and crop harvest. Failure to observe the pre-harvest interval may result in herbicide residue levels in the crop in excess of established limits. Up next, we'll hear just exactly what Emerson Knopfseger thinks about the corn in Illinois at mid-season. While it's a little dangerous to guess at the prospects before the corn is tasseled, University of Illinois Extension's Emerson Knopfseger ventured some mid-season thoughts in last week's online edition of the Bulletin. That's the way the crop scientists at Illinois communicate directly with farmers and agribusiness professionals. It's released weekly. In it, he writes from his travels through much of the northern part of Illinois the first week of July, it was clear that most of the corn crop there was in good shape, and that the rest of the state, which had been very wet early in the season, had benefited greatly from the dry weather and sunshine of the past 2 weeks. Now, that's allowed root systems to grow well and tap soil water beneath the top few inches. The primary indication of healthy roots is that the crop shows no sign of water or, in most cases, nutrient stress. Knopfseger says now that the surface soils are drying out, roots must be actively taking up water from deeper in the soil to keep the plant functioning well. Crop color is good to outstanding in most fields, too, though he has seen a few fields with symptoms of N-deficiency. These are likely fields where nitrogen was not yet applied or was applied so late that it was not yet being taken up or where a lot of N loss had occurred. In fact, with the dry weather over the past 2 weeks, some of the rescue applications that had been made based on the fear of nitrogen loss or on a poor crop color when soils were very wet may still be sitting in the dry surface soil with no way to get to the roots. It's perhaps too early, he says, to say that such applications were a mistake, but some were likely premature, especially in fields where adequate N was applied earlier, says Knopfseger. In any case, the dark green color means that photosynthetic rates are high now, and as the canopy closes for real, as leaf area and light interception approaches their maximum, the crop is producing sugars at maximum rates. This is exactly what it needs to do as it enters the pollination stages. The crop scientist says the main things to watch for now are signs that photosynthetic rates might be dropping, and by the time pollination ends and silks start to turn brown, how many kernels have been fertilized. In round figures, he says to expect maximum yield potential when kernels number in the range of 15 to 20 million per acre. At 32,000 ears per acre, that would be 500 to 550 kernels per ear.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Ben Stoller of the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Ben, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Glad to be here.
First off, we would be reticent if we didn't ask about the wheat that you had been at that facility and other Andersons facilities that produce ethanol, been mixing into the process. Is that still happening?
We are still taking wheat. We've, as far as I know, this week haven't really received any loads. We've been doing just a 5% or less mixture in with the ethanol.
Okay. That's where I wanted to see there. Now, tell me about this move over the last couple of days and whether farmers have been rewarding your elevator with potential new crop sales in the fall.
Yeah, we've definitely been seeing some new crop sales. Definitely, obviously, seeing a big move up. I think a lot of guys are waiting to get back up to that $7 range on the December 11 futures, but definitely seeing more and more movement.
You think they'll get there?
I think there's a good chance. I mean, another day like today, we'll be there. With the close of 680, we were up 22 today. So I think there's a decent chance of that it could get there, Todd.
And when you are looking across the grain belt to the east, how good are the basis levels at this point for old and new crop of you?
I think we're seeing old crop basis as strong as 70 over the September as we go east. Here at Delphi, we're 60 over, so basis is getting pretty strong for corn.
And for new crop?
New crop corn, we're here at Climbers 17 under, and I would say that's one of the stronger base levels for new crop corn.
And tell me about soybeans and in your area and what your basis levels are doing at this point.
Okay. Our basis level, we're currently optioned the November. There's some stronger bases down in Lafayette, but really as a whole, we've seen some of the processors weaken over the past couple of days, so not a real strong demand for soybeans at this time.
Why do you suppose that is?
I think they must have bought up and are just feeling pretty good about where they're positioned. I'm not really entirely sure.
I know you've given us where your bases are, but do you have your actual bids for the day?
Sure do. Delphi cash corn, 747. Climbers were at 737. That's due to the strong rail market right now. Ibeck, 737 cash. And beans into Delphi are at 1380 cash.
Ben, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ben Stoller is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on a Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Ben again, you can always do that by pointing your website to WILLAG.org.
WILL programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
A couple of things to remember that are coming up in the month of July and August. If you haven't looked up your local University of Illinois, or local regional, I suppose, University of Illinois Agronomy Day, you can do that. Call your local extension office, and they'll tell you when it is. Agronomy Day here on campus happens on the 18th day of August. That's the third Thursday in July. You're all invited to come out for that. It starts early in the morning, and I'll give you more details on what you can find there as we make our way closer to that. Agronomy Day, the third Thursday, right here on campus in Urbana-Champaign. Farm Progress Show is at the end of the month of August. Of course, the U of I will have its tent there. I've been working on setting that process up, and we'll have a whole lot of big names in the tent from the grains analysts that you hear here on Commodity Week and that you hear during our regular daily program, too. So those are all coming up right here on the radio station and around the state of Illinois from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's National Ice Cream Day. It's also National French Fries Day. As early as the 1680s, potatoes were fried in the Spanish Netherlands. French fry recipes began showing up in U.S. cookbooks as early as 1813, but date back in French cookbooks to at least 1755. On this day in agricultural history in 1568, the dean of St. Paul's Cathedral developed a method to bottle beer. In 1779, William Headley was born, an English coal mine official and inventor. He was probably the first to build a commercially viable steam engine dependent on friction between the wheels and rails, as opposed to a geared track. In 1794, James Lynn died. Lynn was a Scottish physician who recommended that fresh citrus fruit and lemon juice be implemented in the seamen's diet to eliminate scurvy. Sir Gilbert Blane made Lynn's suggestion a requirement, and scurvy was eradicated in the British Navy. By the way, the Dutch had been using citrus to combat scurvy since at least 1594, 2 centuries earlier. And in 1937, the first Krispy Kreme donut was sold in Salem, North Carolina. The first donuts went to grocery stores, but it was not long before people began stopping by Vernon Rudolph's donut operation and asking for hot donuts to go. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Thanks so much, Drew, for taking the time with us. We had quite a downpour in the middle of the early to late evening last night. Can you tell me how much rainfall we got and how widespread that was?
Well, there were a number of locations that got rather impressive rainfall. It's actually heaviest down in the southern part of Illinois and portions of southwestern Indiana and down into portions of Kentucky, where we saw some 1 to 2 inch amounts occur. A couple of counties even doing better than that. And we also saw some similar occurrences take place across parts of Missouri and back into northeast Kansas. So this is all a part of the general instability in the atmosphere right now. And this is really important. You know, everyone's focused in on the ridge of high pressure coming up. But this atmosphere still has the ability to generate rainfall. And we need to keep that in the back of our minds. When this ridge builds up, there's a fairly good chance that we're going to see a few areas of surprisingly great rainfall that are going to evolve up at the top of the ridge and come down the front of it. And we may end up a week or so from now saying, well, this wasn't quite as bad as advertised.
Talk to me about the advertisement and then what you really think.
Yeah, well, the ridge of high pressure is definitely going to build up. You know, we've had a terribly hot year in Texas and Oklahoma. It's been very dry down there, of course, the worst drought in recorded history in some places. And that's always a breeding ground for high pressure systems in the summertime. And that's what's going to happen. Over the next few days, we're going to see high pressure building up across the western Corn Belt and the plains. And it's going to take up position in those areas and stay there pretty much off and on throughout a big part of the coming week. Some of the models suggest maybe even 10 days worth. The ridge will bring a lot of heat northward out of Texas and Oklahoma up into the western Corn Belt, but the recent thunderstorm activity in the west has likely produced enough moisture that is all going to be fed back out of the ground as evaporation and destabilize the atmosphere. So we'll end up with a lot of humidity around while the temperatures are hot. So 90-degree heat with a few readings getting up over 100 on the western fringe of the Corn Belt will take place. The eastern Midwest will get away from the coolness that's been around here the last couple of days. We'll see highs getting into the range of mid-80s to the mid-90s.
So in parts of the Corn Belt, it'll be good for pollination, and other parts, a little warm for pollination, I would think.
That's right, and we do have some areas in the eastern Midwest that are already drying down from portions of Illinois eastward into parts of Michigan and Ohio. Some of these areas have had a little bit of rain here in the last week, but we're going to dry down very quickly once the heat kicks back in here. And it'll take about a week, and we'll have a fair amount of these drier pocketed areas running very short on topsoil moisture. The good news is that the subsoil moisture is still adequate, and we'll be able to go probably a 10-day period without serious crop stress from a moisture perspective. But then, of course, the western Corn Belt will be hot enough that the heat stress will be an issue. Our low temperatures at night may not get below the middle 70s in some areas in the western belt. So a number of issues popping up here, and what happens to this ridge in the second and third weeks of the forecast is going to be extremely important for the marketplace and for the overall production.
Any other places around the northern hemisphere that we need to keep an eye on?
You know, I think that we are probably the center of attention right now, but portions of Russia is in the lower Volga River Basin. They've had a drought going on for well over a year. That drought is showing signs of expanding once again, and that will take place over this next week to 10 days. It will not get as bad as it was last year, but it still will be another market interest point. Outside of that, China is going to dry down a little bit, but I don't see that becoming a crisis, at least not for the next 10 days or so.
That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason.